hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. It is the 19th day of October, 2005. Program airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and that is on Central Time. And you can hear the broadcast on AM, FM, shortwave, just as the song says. Also, it doesn't say anything about satellite, but we're there also, and this network will remain on satellite, on internet. And you can go to RBN Live, ladies and gentlemen, and listen to the live streaming if you've got DSL or high-speed internet through, cable company or wherever. That's right. We provide a free 32-bit stream for your listening pleasure, or if you're bandwidth challenged. We give you a 16-kilobit feed or an 8-kilobit feed. And if you miss any portion of the show live, you can simply go to the archives. And within 24 hours, all of our shows are archived, so you can enjoy that. And that is free of charge, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe in charging this for this. Some people do, but we're into spreading the message. So if you're going to suggest to somebody that's never heard this type of programming before and we make them pay a fee just to tune in and listen, chances are they will not. But people like free stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and the price we pay for this per month, it's almost minuscule. I don't know why other people don't offer free streaming. I don't understand it. Mr. Producer, do you understand this? He's shaking his head no. He's the guy that set it up, so he should know. All right, Fred in Pennsylvania, anything else for us?
The thing that we're dealing with, I think, is tyranny in whatever form, and you have the phenomenon of the UN moving into that role and also taxing us without representing us. We have an example of years ago they had proposed a stock sale tax or stock transfer tax. In Monterey they proposed an oil wellhead tax. There's been a tax, proposed a tax on other giant markets, and it would be done in a way that we would not be able to know that we're being taxed.
You must be standing next to a bus stop, are you?
I'm doing the best I can.
I heard the squeak of the brake, and that sounded like city transit to me, and then I heard it take off. Okay, well, Fred, thank you. I appreciate your call. Thank you, my friend. Chris, our lines are loaded here. I mean, we can keep taking a few more calls, and any salient points you want to inject here, just go right ahead.
Well, certainly, the website that we have produced here is a monster, and you look at transnational.org and you'll learn about all the companies that are involved in this, which is building to, eventually we're going to be losing a lot of different products that we take for granted today, including spray paint out of a spray can. That'll be gone in the future. This whole situation has been engineered out of England. Prince Charles is a big part of this. And once again, you have to realize public-private partnerships is very vital, where government is part of it, multinational corporations and transnational corporations, melded with non-governmental organizations. So you can't really pinpoint to Congress, hey, stop it. But, we never passed the Biodiversity Treaty. It was done by executive order, which created the President's Council on Sustainable Development, which has been going on since 1993.
That was under Bill Clinton. And, if he already signed onto it through executive order, then what was all this ballyhoo that George Bush was against Agenda 21?
I think George Bush is, the Bush family has a history, and that all three Bushes are part of it, including Clinton as well.
All right, we got to take this break. We'll be back with more of your calls and information. My guest today, none other than Chris Gerner. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Well, you want to know what the main culprit is to the biodiversity. This is what it says, folks. I'm not making this up. They concluded that the root causes of the loss of biodiversity are embedded in the way societies use resources. The main culprit? Judeo-Christian values. The worldview is characteristic of large-scale societies heavily dependent on resources brought from considerable distances. In a worldview that is characterized by the denial of sacred attributes in nature, a characteristic that became firmly established about 2,000 years ago with the Judeo-Christian Islamic religious traditions. They go on to say that Eastern cultures with religious traditions such as Buddhism, and I never even heard of this one, Jainism, Hinduism I've heard about, did not depart as drastically from the perspective of humans as members of a community of beings, including other living and non-living elements. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ started something on the face of this planet that evidently, Chris, these communist-backed UN people don't really appreciate.
Well, certainly, they have their United Religions Initiative. What is their God but Mother Gaia? Al Gore wrote about that in his book, Earth and the Balance. But the basic understanding of this can be brought forth in about three paragraphs of Joan Vion's book, The United Nations Global Straitjacket, where she gives a little history. And she states here, questions that should be asked are, where and when did reinventing government begin? Who started it? How did public-private partnerships impact reinventing government? What part does the United Nations Agenda 21 play? At what point did reinventing government begin to be the final piece in the destruction of the world system and the emergence of global corporate fascism and tyranny? In my almost 5 years of research, I was not planning it. What I have found is that many times the United Nations and its related agencies use words with hidden meanings. In other words, you and I would assume that they use a word in the normal way we use it. That, however, is not the case. Most of the UN terms have their own peculiar meaning, and therefore frequently used words such as democracy, decentralization, capacity building, and public-private partnerships could very well mean or describe reinventing government, and indeed do. In looking to understand reinventing government, we must analyze the agenda behind it. I have narrowed the history down to two sources. Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, who works behind the global scenes helping to set in place the radical agenda of the United Nations and the United Nations Program of Action, Agenda 21. So this is just a little piece from Joan Vion's book, and I do recommend that everyone get Joan Vion's The United Nations Global Straitjacket, written in 1999, and then get from the UN system Our Global Neighborhood. Those two books are very, very good in educating anyone, especially those that don't have a computer.
Well, and the agenda, folks, and you're right about the wording and the verbiage, as I just said, that this one guy, the school superintendent, he went through their classes, and they tell him how to constructively lie. But if you hear words such as community development, now you and I used to think about that in other glossary terms. In other words, how it's intended. But that's not the case with these people. They're using the same words. They ensnare you, trap you in this thing, and then you find out it's a totally different agenda. Also, some of the clues, the buzzwords, visioning, partners, stakeholders, so on and so forth. I mean, these are change agents. And Maurice Strong, by the way, he was the big band leader down there, I guess you could say, at the Rio de Janeiro conference.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, he agrees with this, and he's got a big ranch out in Colorado, and he's gathering people like Buddhists and Native Americans and other earth-centered religions. So they're gathering these people in. They're gathering their forces, and just as the propaganda, and I'm sure they're not telling them the truth either, you know, because, you know, be honest, you know, folks, who needs the United Nations running our affairs here in America? I mean, we've probably not always been the smartest. You know, this is a money-driven economy, but we've also seen that we've not had transparency in government anymore. We have our lying politicians up there pushing whatever agenda, so don't look to them for the truth. Start doing your research for yourself. understand this Agenda 21, the sustainable development fraud, and this Local 21. They've got, Chris, they got their forces marshaled out there going into every community across this country pushing this Local 21 agenda.
That's true, and they call it LA21. And there you have this situation that, okay, people say, well, the United Nations is very insignificant. They don't have this. They don't have the power to do that. It comes from the State Department and the U.S. mission to the United Nations. And they are all about sustainable development, migration. The whole situation emanates from our State Department, and there's the big problem right there.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Sam in Missouri. Hello, Sam.
Hey, good afternoon, John, and good hearing you on, Chris. Good broadcast today, covering a lot of ground, and I'll just briefly touch a few places for people just as an example of the tentacles of Agenda 21, because we research it too. And church growth movement, everybody's heard of the church growth movement, part of Agenda 21. The illegal invasion by the illegals, part of Agenda 21. Weather Modification, part of Agenda 21. Weather Modification Incorporated. Chris, you just talked about that one earlier on your show. The one that I want to really zero in on this time, though, John, is the illegal invasion, because there was a nice ample opportunity last spring and last summer for us to get a groundswell of support to get out of the U.N., and I hear a lot of these broadcasters that deal with this issue on an ongoing basis. The attitude seems to exist that, we just can't figure out why the government is not dealing with this issue. Well, it's real easy if you just find it. We've even sent it to a few people that weren't dealing with it, and that is the implementation of human rights treaties, Executive Order 13107 that Bill Clinton signed into law. And under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it states that people can go to and from their country and change their nationality, their language, or whatever. This stuff is not being implemented by osmosis. There's actual documentation out there, UN documentation and legislation and treaties that have been signed allowing this to take place. And if this would have been handled in the right way by those people that centered their broadcasts on the issue of illegal immigration, we could have had a groundswell to get us out of the UN, I think.
You, Sam, you've got a radio station up there, and you're doing your part to help spread the truth, and I appreciate your commitment to doing that.
Well, that's what it's all about, because God knows you don't get paid for doing this, as you know, John, and so many others know out there.
Chris and I are laughing right now, by the way.
Well, I look at this way, I'm sure Chris feels the same way, and you too, and that is the fact that our payback will be if we can turn the country around, and which I think if we do the right stuff that we can. But the thing is, it's one thing. I know there's one talk show host that I hear on Sunday nights who really gets riled up over the issue of illegal immigration, but he won't touch this issue.
Yeah, he's a one-note pony. That's why he's only got 1 hour on the network.
Yeah, and the thing is, you have to. It's one thing to gripe and complain about these issues, but you have to go back to the real. It's kind of like, you have one or two choices. You can either put a fire out at its root cause, or you can go around not dealing with the central problem and just put out little hot spots that the actual core fire creates. And this is what I see going on.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, the problem is we have to deal with these root causes. And there's so much more to this. The illegal immigration problem is just part of this whole thing. It's a tentacle of the giant octopus. Just like the in 93 when they came down with the issue of forcing us into low-flow toilets, that was part of it. You can just go through the whole laundry list of things. They even tried to regulate our laundry products in 1995-96 that we went into these low-flow washers, and it's like I tell people,